Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick, and you're listening to another episode of Who's Reading the Organon? This is show number 21 on June 2, 2010.
Hi, this is Vera Resnick, and we'll be talking Organon today. But I think, Debbie, you have some things you want to say first.
Yes. I wanted to let people know what keeps coming into my mind when I hear Vera talk. When I hear you talk, Vera, you're always giving me food for thought and some great little mnemonics to remember things. And one of the things is awe, and awesome are the remedies that they really, the smaller the dose, they really do have a tremendous amount of power and potential for healing. The other thing that you say that sticks in my mind is respect for remedies, or respect the remedies. This kind of puts you in a special place and a mood of and a tone when you have respect and just don't use them offhandedly. And then the last idea that you said I often remember is don't shout when you can whisper. And this goes for those people who are using the HWC and chatting and talking. The same thing. Please don't write in all capital letters. That's the etiquette on the internet is that's the same thing as screaming. So use sentence case, lowercase. That also reminds me of that a quote from C.S. Lewis who wrote, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is a megaphone. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Pretty cool quote from C.S. Lewis today, the author of Chronicles of Narnia. And I think we can go straight in to our learning the Organon.
Okay, well, we're going to reread 279, which we read briefly at the end of the last session, and we'll see where we go. This pure experience shows universally is written in capitals. Does that mean Berica was shouting or Hahnemann was?
Aha, it's called emphasis. It's called emphasis.
That's right.
So you do use it a little bit in the right potency.
This pure experience shows universally that if the disease does not manifestly depend on a considerable deterioration of an important viscus, even though it belongs to the chronic and complicated diseases, and if during the treatment all other alien medicinal influences are kept away from the patient, the dose of the homeopathically selected and highly potentized remedy for the beginning of treatment of an important, especially chronic disease, can never be prepared so small that it shall not be stronger than the natural disease and shall not be able to overpower it, at least in part, and extinguish it from the sensation of the principle of life and thus make a beginning of a cure. And now
Are you going to start at the end?
Well, I have a major question here.
Okay.
And I'm looking for my trusty Yaskur.
Oh, your Yasgur dictionary?
Yasgur dictionary. No homeopath should be without it, and I'm not getting any permission.
Okay. I have it. Do you want me to look up a word?
I have it. I have it in front of me.
You're looking up viscous?
Absolutely.
Woo! I read your mind.
I mean.
Okay, let me look. I'm going to look it up too.
But it's a good opportunity to make this side point that we don't understand so many of the words apart from the issue of German and English and translations. We don't understand half of the words that are used in English. And I think that Yasgur's dictionary is so helpful when reading Materia Medica and reading the Organon. I really think no homeopath should be without it. But,
let me spell it for the listening audience. J-A-Y, Yasgur, Y-A-S-G-U-R, a dictionary of homeopathic medical terminology.
And having said that, he doesn't have the word viscous per se, but he has the word viscera, which I think is what's being referred to here. If anyone has any comment or correction, please let us know and improve the knowledge of the entire community that listens to this radio show. Viscera or viscera, the contents of the body cavities, internal organs, especially those contained within the abdominal and chest cavities. So we've given certain modifiers. No dose can be prepared so small that it shall not be stronger than a natural disease, except if there's considerable deterioration of an important viscous, and if during the treatment all other alien medicinal influences are kept away from the patient. So it means if you insist on eating asparagus and onions, you may have problems. But no, just kidding. But it means that Hahnemann is qualifying this. He is saying that it's possible that you'll need a larger dose if something of these two types is going on. He says those are the situations where possibly a small, minute dose will not be stronger than a natural disease. It seems to me
I'm trying to absorb this.
Yeah, it seems to me that there's a question. It's not totally straightforward. Let's just read the beginning part. This pure experience shows universally that if the disease does not manifestly depend on a considerable deterioration of an important viscous, even though it belongs to the chronic and complicated diseases, and if during treatment all other alien medicinal influences are kept away from the patient, the dose can never be prepared so small that it shall not be stronger than the natural disease. So let's try and take that to a practical example. If the disease doesn't depend on a considerable deterioration of the heart muscle, okay, is that an important viscous?
Definitely. Heart, brain, liver, lungs.
And if the patient isn't having aromatherapy massages daily during treatment, will that count as an alien medicinal influence? I think it could.
Yeah, we would consider aromatherapy, especially those that are using camphorated oils or what is the word for those kinds of oils that have the chemical composition that really do affect the body, like mints and things.
Well, I have to admit that I am also a qualified aromatherapist, although I don't use it since I've been working as a homeopath. But the oils are very powerful, and they do impact on the body in the same way as allopathic medicines. And in my criminal previous life, I used to give essential oils as a form of medicine. So that aromatherapy massage would definitely be an alien medicinal influence, I think, under Hahnemann's view of alien medicinal influences. And we can possibly take it a little more serious than asparagus soup. So as long as an important viscous is not being harmed, let's say the heart muscle, and as long as our patient is not having daily aromatherapy massages, No remedy can be prepared so small that it shall not overpower his natural disease. But, so the implied flip side, if, let's say, the heart muscle is deteriorating, or if, let's say, there's a constant deterioration of the lungs, or constant deterioration of the stomach, then possibly we might need a larger dose.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way I would understand it. And if the patient is having daily aromatherapy massages, for those of us who aren't total purists and wouldn't tell the patient you must stop your massages immediately, we might find we have to give them larger doses in order for the remedy to be able to hold its own against the aliens.
Well, if you don't want to confuse the experiment, you might call it an experiment, of parameters and change what the parameters are, just removing the daily massages with these essential oils, with the word is aromatics, when you have all of these complicated chemical aromatics that do impact the body and the mind and the mood and everything, just removing that one thing, the person might see a huge change. So then how do you determine whether it is from the remedy or from the removal of the alien influence? Right?
My understanding is more that, Hanuman, in terms of the alien medicinal influences, my understanding is more that he's talking about antidoting. Then he's saying that you started giving a remedy, but your patient is having daily aromatherapy massages. During your treatment, you may find that you need to give larger doses. Larger, not necessarily high potency, but larger doses. Although my understanding is that Hanuman would be very insistent that the patient reduce all other alien medicinal influences during homeopathic treatment, especially from previous aphorisms we've read on the subject. He's been very, very emphatic about changes in regimen and lifestyle during treatment.
Right. I would wonder, not living during his day and age, whether he would tell the person, okay, I'd like you to withdraw from doing these particular things and take a week or two or three before you come back for treatment, because we want to see what happens as the body stabilizes into a new state of being after not taking that. Just as if somebody was an alcoholic, and to withdraw from that addiction, they would end up in a new state of being after that.
I think probably an interesting place to take this aphorism to, and one that is very current today, is the number of people who use recreational drugs. It's now very much part of culture, part of society, that people will smoke a joint here and there. Is that an alien medicinal influence? Is that something that needs to be stopped? Otherwise, we won't see the impact of treatment.
Good question.
So,
well, what about I think about drinking.
Mm-hmm.
People are drinking crazy. Kids in college, mm-hmm. and once they get out, well, actually, even while they're still in junior high and high school, now drinking has really increased in the younger population. How would he deal with that?
I think also that seems to come into this category. And it makes me understand the homeopaths who are very emphatic, and they say, don't come back to me unless you're willing to completely change your lifestyle. First of all, it protects the reputations of these homeopaths, because it is possibly more likely that they'll see results when other alien medicinal influences aren't interfering with the treatment. But on the other hand, there are many people who won't stop what they're doing before they start treatment. And starting
right.
treatment can actually help wean them off the alien medicinal influence.
Exactly. In other words, especially if they are addicted to something, the reason they're going to the homeopath is for help. They're coming. They're saying, I am dependent upon this particular alien influence. They don't call it that. And I need your help, and I'm here for your help, and tell me what I should do. And if they say, well, just stop, is that going to assist them in any way?
It's funny, with the alien medicinal influence, I find myself with this image in my head of a Martian holding out a scotch in one hand and a joint in the other.
What a cute cartoon.
That would kind of cover all possibilities there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and having more than one arm, two arms, rather.
There's one other element that I want to bring out in this aphorism, because it's something that I find myself constantly wondering every time I see this expression. At the end of the aphorism, Hanuman says, the dose can never be prepared so small that it shall not be stronger than the natural disease, and shall not be able to overpower it, at least in part, and extinguish it from the sensation of the principle of life, and thus make the beginning of a cure. What I find interesting, and it's referred to in previous aphorisms much more in depth, and hopefully we'll get to that during this year of many radio shows and Organon blog posts, the concept that the beginning of cure is when the natural disease is extinguished from the sensation of the principle of life. Sometimes to me it sounds like, well, if you don't feel it, it's not there. Mm-hmm. And is that true? And then it seems like we're headed into a very mystical or quantum mechanical physical world, because there is a sense of, if we erase the natural disease from the sensation of the principle of life, that's how we make the beginning of a cure. The life principle no longer senses the natural disease, at least in part. Anyway, it's more food for thought that I wanted to raise with that. I certainly have no answers or brilliant understandings. To me, it seems like a question.
When I hear you say this, to extinguish it from the sensation of the principle of life, it's interesting how he words it, and the principle of life, as opposed to extinguish it from the sensation of the individual, because regular allopathic doses, which we would consider as read in the previous aphorism, that it's an overdose to give a crude substance in the way that medicine is given, it does also extinguish that sensation, that disease, apparently, from the being, from the individual. But does it extinguish it from the principle of life? And is he talking about the vital force there?
I think he's talking about the vital force.
Uh-huh. And he doesn't say it outright. He uses new words, the principle of life.
I'm just seeing if I can...
And thus making it a beginning of a cure. So he's really talking about getting to cure somehow with this aphorism, using the word at the beginning in all capital letters, this pure experience shows universally
now,
that if the disease does not... Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm just hopping over to Dudgeon. Dudgeon's
okay.
Translation of the fifth on the same aphorism, and I think it's interesting to look at it. I'll read it. There are a few interesting changes in words. This pure experience shows invariably... We have invariably, not universally, which is slightly
okay,
different
good.
In nuance.
Let me look it up in the other one also.
279, yeah.
Okay, and Hunsley says, 279, he says pure experience absolutely, which is in italics, proves that even in a chronic or complicated disease, when there is no extensive damage to some vital organ, and though all other foreign medicinal influence has been withheld from the patient, the dose of the highly potentized homeopathic remedy beginning the treatment of a significant chronic disease can, as a rule, not be made so small that it is not stronger than the natural disease, that it cannot at least partially overcome it, that it cannot at least partially extinguish it. In the feelings of the vital principle, which is what, instead of the principle of life, that it cannot start the process of cure. So a lot of different words are being used here.
But what,
and someone has got to know what the correct translation is.
What?
Are you there?
Hello?
Vera?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, lost you for a second. Yes.
In the fifth, in Dudgeon's, the whole concept of sensation of the principle of life and the beginning of cure doesn't exist. What I have here is that you shall not be able to overpower, extinguish, and cure it, at least in part, as long as it is capable of causing some, though but a slight preponderance of its own symptoms over those of the disease resembling it, slight homeopathic aggravation immediately after its ingestion. So that's something that it might be curious to consider, why in the sixth Hahnemann adds this extinguish it from the sensation of the principle of life. I have to look at
and
the
not,
other aphorism.
And in the fifth edition, he talks about a slight homeopathic aggravation.
And he doesn't refer to this extinguishing from the sensation of the principle of life, which is the concept that I find so interesting and would like to understand better.
Well, he told us in the previous aphorism not to go into philosophy and theory, and therefore that's exactly what he does. In the next one, he gives us so much to ponder and not understand completely.
I think perhaps he felt that these things were self-evident. There's also the cultural influences of the time, but he refers in previous aphorisms to the whole concept of an illness being in the sensation of principle of life. Maybe I'll just hop over there.
So he's getting at something to the core of disease and the core of cure, that it is more than just the extinguishing an outer or a pain or a dysfunction or the deterioration of the viscus, the organ. There's more to it than that.
In aphorism 45,
45?
Shall I just briefly read this aphorism, because it's describing the way two similar diseases will overcome.
Okay.
Let me check. Yes. He says, two diseases differing, it's true, in kind, but very similar in their phenomena and effects, and in the sufferings and symptoms they invariably produce, invariably annihilate one another whenever they meet together in the organism. The stronger disease, namely, annihilates the weaker. And that for this simple reason, because the stronger morbific power, when it invades the system, by reason of its similarity of action, involves precisely the same parts of the organism that were previously affected by the weaker morbid irritation. And just skipping a couple of lines, hence the life principle, on account of its peculiarity, can no longer feel the weaker similar, which becomes extinguished, exists no longer, for it was never anything but a dynamic, spirit-like affection. The life principle henceforth is affected only, and this but temporarily, by the new similar but stronger morbific potency.
Okay, so the question is, for me, that stronger one is the homeopathic remedy. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. The idea being the stronger similar, the stronger similar disease, stronger similar artificial disease, slightly stronger so that we won't have aggravations, will remove the natural disease from the sensation of the life force. Because the natural disease was only a dynamic spirit-like affection to start with. So I find this all very interesting. And
well, what I'm asking here is, what happens with the stronger similar? Will that always be there, and how does that work?
If the stronger similar is an artificial disease, it's like artificial lights. We turn it on, we turn it off. That's the beauty of homeopathy, that we can create an artificial disease state. It's not a real deep illness unless we do so by making the mistake of unnecessary repetitions. But it's an artificial disease state, which we can turn on and off and fine-tune at will.
How do you turn it off?
You stop giving the remedy. Hahnemann will go into this in the next few aphorisms of where we are.
Okay. So what it does is it sort of like cancels out that morbific natural disease, and it fades away itself. It's not apparent. The artificial disease is not something that stays with the individual.
No, if the remedy was given correctly, then it wouldn't stay with the individual. It would leave when we turn it off, like artificial light.
Since we're on the subject of light, I can tell you how much I love to use artificial light. What I mean is full spectrum light bulbs that are throughout my home. People who live in areas with reduced sunlight experience depression and anxiety. That's called seasonal affective disorder. I'm a really big proponent of artificial full spectrum light that mimics natural sunlight. Even Helena Rubinstein knew the value of natural light. As we know today that it provides vitamin D, it's important for our health and even as a preventative of disease. Our body is made to use natural sunlight in a special way, and it provides us with what we need to stay healthy. So Helena Rubinstein said, daylight reveals color. Artificial light drains it. And you really do know this is true. A lot of people can't stand to be inside under fluorescent light bulbs. And so get out there and take a walk. Let the nice sun reach your skin and give you some color into your life. And I'd like to add one more thing to sum up. As an addendum to today's show, I'd like to remind everyone to visit and join the HWC Blog Talk Radio Who's Reading the Organon group. Vera has been diligently posting notes for each show with a few extra bits of reading material to enrich your learning. We'd really love to hear your thoughts, opinions, contributions, and help with parts of the aphorisms where we are unsure about Hahnemann's meaning. We can all learn from each other. As you know by now, you can never make a mistake. And if you do, then we can turn that negative into a positive by antidoting with a little sunshine. Don't forget to tell your friends to listen in and talk amongst yourselves. May the vital force be with you.
Okay. Bye, Debbie. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.